Good morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to be back. I missed being here. It's the first time in years that I haven't actually preached, two Sundays in a row. I don't know if I still remember how to do this, so please be patient with me. I want to thank our clergy intern, Wendy Hamilton, for a wonderful message and a wonderful conversation afterwards last Sunday. Thank you very much, Wendy. I also want to thank the people who decorated the altar this morning. That's beautiful. I am looking for somebody who may be interested in helping to decorate the altar for next Sunday. And what is the theme for next Sunday going to be?
Talent.
Yes, talent. Very good. Today is time. Next Sunday is talent. The Sunday after is treasure. So if there is somebody here who would like to decorate the altar with what talent means to them, I welcome you to do that because I can't.
May I suggest that people bring things in that represent their talent?
You may suggest that. I think we may have a suggestion.
A volunteer.
Indeed. You just volunteered the community. Well done. Very good. So perhaps next week you can bring something that represents talent to you that will fit on the altar. Thank you. Thank you so much. Will you join me in a moment of prayer, please? Caring spirit of growth and transformation, one who made us all in your image and who challenges us to reconnect, grant us an awareness of your presence moving within, around, and through us, and teach us to number our days so that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. Now, this month we begin our stewardship campaign. I don't mind talking about the resources through which our community is supported, although one member did liken it to a PBS pledge drive. We will not be giving away coffee cups, just so you know. Now, for me, it is an opportunity for us to examine the very spiritual relationship between the way we give of ourselves and the way we live. Not just within this community, but in all areas of our lives. And the means through which we most often have to give, which are the gifts of our time, our talents, and our treasure. And today, it's about time. Now, this spiritual relationship between how we give and how we live is not new. We see it at work and alive in some of our greatest stories and mythologies. In A Christmas Carol, for example, Charles Dickens presented us with Scrooge, a miser who lives a sad life of scarcity. In his effort to hold tightly onto money, he managed to squeeze the life out of everything that he grasped. Relationships, coworkers, his surroundings, and his very existence. Now, through a visitation of spirits or ghosts, he is offered a view along different points of the river of time passing through his past and his present and his future. The spirit of Christmas past showed him a time when he was more carefree, but also a glimpse of how he came to be who he came to be. A slow disconnection from the things that he once loved. Another spirit reveals the present that exists around Scrooge. Happiness amidst some sadness. And the possibility that lives can be changed and courses altered and shadows shifted by illumination and awareness. The spirit also reveals two starving, barely clad children within the robes of the present, called ignorance and want. The children of humanity, they are called. And on the forehead of ignorance is written the word doom. Scrooge requests that they be covered back up because he doesn't want to see them, as many of us do not want to see them. Now, Charles Dickens is also making the point that it is up to us, up to society, up to you and me to care for the poor, the downtrodden, the marginalized, to see them, to change their future through our awareness of them. And the final spirit of Christmas does offer a glimpse of the future. Death. The death of a disliked soul. A soul whose death is met by most of the insults and the stinginess with which he lived throughout most of his life, and whose epitaph is as empty as the life he lived. It was, of course, for Scrooge, his own death, being met with the same cruelty with which he lived. Scrooge awakens from his slumber transformed, moved, his thinking changed, having received the message that time is ever passing by, running out for him, for all of us. And all we have really is this day, this moment in which to live, to love, and to give. Life is not meant to be saved up and closely guarded, but lived wholly and completely. By giving generously of himself, Scrooge learns, at least for a day, that his life is full, and that as he gives of himself, he receives back from others more than he ever gave. This is the economics of blessing. So often the path to some of the wisest lessons in life often seem counterintuitive. And many of our greatest teachers in life seek to teach us these things, and yet still we need to learn them over and over and over again. Giving generously of ourselves is a path to living generously. And it leads us from places of scarcity to places of great abundance. It does so with our treasure, it does so with our talents, and it does so with our time. Time, it is our most precious commodity. We each only have so much of it, both in the measure of our days and in the measure of our lives. It is constant, and yet, as Einstein theorized, it is also relative. In observation to the rate of one's speed of travel. This means that the astronauts on the International Space Station, traveling at a relative velocity of 5 miles per second in relation to us, actually age slower than the rest of us. Because time passes slower for them. Now, it's not a lot, so don't try and book a passage to the International Space Station. It's not a lot. After a whole year on the space station, one twin, Scott Kelly, is about 1/100th of 1 second younger than his earthbound twin. But the difference is indeed there. So time and motion can pass differently. And maybe that's why some seem to do more with the time that they have. We were also given an extra hour to our day today. And I'm thankful that all of you all used it wisely. But we all know it's more like borrowed time. It will be taken back from us come the spring. But even so, when you return it back, will you have invested it wisely? Will it be returned back to the clock with some interest? Time is also relative in other ways, in our human sense of it passing. Just like 2 hours passes so quickly in a movie theater, and yet passes so slowly in a doctor's waiting room. Or the sensation of time dilation as we grow older. It's not your imagination. For example, when we're 6 years old waiting for Christmas, it takes forever. Forever. And yet at 60, Christmas comes around so quickly. Whoa, here it comes again. That's because at 6, a year is 1/6 of our life. And at 60, it is 1/60th of our life. So the relative passage of time seems shorter seems different and it seems faster as we age. But that doesn't mean that we don't have the same amount of time in a year as we had when we were 6 years old, when the days seem to last forever, because we do, even if it may not seem that way. What matters most with our time is what we do with it, how we invest it, either in the things that have a return value for us or in things that do not. The most important thing is not to allow our life to pass us by, not to live a life filled with empty things. Otherwise, as Mary Oliver teases us in her poem, Summer Day, what will you have done with your one wild and precious life? Seneca was a Roman philosopher, and he penned a fair amount about time. In another passage, he said, quote, "Just as travelers are beguiled by conversation or reading some profound meditation and find they have arrived at their destination before they even knew they were approaching it, so it is with this unceasing and extremely fast-moving journey of life, which, waking or sleeping, we make at the same pace. And the preoccupied become aware of it only when it is over." So, don't be preoccupied. Pay attention. Now, that's one of the lessons that we seek to learn in this space, and we need to be reminded of it over and over and over again. I always love it when great people say the same thing in different ways. Barbara Brown Taylor says in her book, An Altar in the World, that the great wisdom traditions of the world all recognize that the greatest impediment to living a life of meaning, a life of wisdom, and a life of purpose is being self-absorbed. Don't be preoccupied. Don't be self-absorbed. Or Ferris Bueller says it like this: life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. Gosh, that's one of my favorite quotes. Good religion should lead us away from places of preoccupation, places of self-absorption, and should encourage us to be aware, to be awake, to be alert. And I think a part of that process of being aware is being here. Being here now. And I mean literally being here in this community. A portion of your precious time that you invest each week in being present here as a commitment is indeed an offering. You change this space by your very presence here. And you don't need to do anything other than just to be. Be present and be open to the people around you. And this offering is one not to be undervalued or underestimated. Not only your own presence here, but that of those around you. Value and celebrate the fact that others are present here as well. It is important. It is an investment in each other, in humanity. Be present. Show up. Once Dad was trying to encourage a woman to come to church. He was concerned about her. She didn't seem to have relatives. Didn't seem to have a community or people to know her or care about her. She finally told Dad that she didn't have any money. And she had always heard that churches were all about money. Dad told her that she was devaluing the worth of her presence, the offering of her very body and presence to the gathered community. Church community is about far more than tangible resources. It is more about the gathered resource of the people. You remember, we learned that when we were a kid, didn't we? And here's the people. That's what it's about. Are you devaluing the worth of your presence? The addition of your voice to this space, your breath to this space, the contribution of your face to this space on a Sunday morning. Look around you. Being here is an investment in community. It is an investment in others and in yourself. It is an offering to the divine. You become a part of something larger than yourself, which is what spiritual connection is all about. Connecting with something that's larger than yourself. Joining in community with others to ponder life's great questions and explore life's great mysteries, to journey together spiritually, to help care for others, to learn about others and ourselves. Learning how to give more, to give of ourselves more. Learning how to live more, having life more abundantly. And learning more about our purpose in life. Could there be any better investment? To me, that is what religious community is about. Religion, which comes from the Latin word ligio, which means to connect. It is the same root word from which we get ligament, which connects bone to muscle. Ligio, connect, and re, again, reconnect. Religion, reconnect. To reconnect us with ourselves and with others and with the divine. This thing that we do here each week, this Sunday thing, is very queer. This coming together on a day of rest, to be together, to sing together, to breathe together, to speak together, all together in community. It is here that we practice what we preach. I'm going to say that again. It is here that we practice what we preach. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
This is where we learn not to hurt another's feelings. This is where we learn not to strike out and hurt back when we ourselves have been hurt. This is where we learn not to bring the worst parts of our family with us into this space. Not to pick at each other, not to pick each other apart, but to grant grace, to reach out and to build each other up, to build community. It is here that we praise. It is here that we learn how to say hallelujah, praise God, and amen. We learn how to be kind here. Kindness, which indeed exposes us all as kindred. Exposes all of our hearts as kindred. It is here that we strengthen others, and by doing so, discover the strength within ourselves. We learn how to receive blessings here and how to be blessings here, and to learn another counterintuitive lesson, that you most often find your blessing by being a blessing to others. If you want to receive a blessing, try being a vehicle for that blessing. Letting the blessing pass through you, flow through you to others. Just as those among us who helped feed the homeless this morning received a blessing themselves by being a blessing to others. That's what it's about, and we need to learn that. And here is the space that we do it. We are in life surrounded by so many beautiful moments. Little moments of life, moments that cannot bless us without us. We have to participate in that blessing. We have to be open to them. We have to be present and aware of them. And all wrapped up in that process, maybe, just maybe, begin to encounter the holy and the divine in everyday events, in common moments. At a stoplight, in a parking lot, in the grocery checkout line, or in gathered community with one another. Some people may come to church to sleep, or to sleepwalk, or to zone out. Dad used to say that if all the people who slept in church were stretched out end to end, then they would be a lot more comfortable.
Oh,
And some people do come to church to feel more comfortable. But church should also make you uncomfortable from time to time, make you question your life, make you question your thoughts, and keep you awake, alert, in here and out there, wide awake. We come together and we find hope and strength in each other. And like the proverbial cup of sugar in our pantry, we find those things in ourselves by offering them to a neighbor in need. Paul's epistle to the community in Rome, his letter to them, it's his longest and his heaviest of letters. It also forms a good composition for his own statement of faith. For example, no burning meat for our sacrifices. No, we present our whole selves, whole and holy. Our bodies, bless you, and our bodies are good. Our bodies are good. So often in our communities, we are taught that our bodies aren't good. Our bodies are good. As a creation of the divine, we are good. All of our moving parts and the parts that don't move and the parts that don't move so well, we are good. Paul is calling to us from some 20 centuries ago to make our daily lives an offering to God. The gift of our time and our presence, given in service to humanity. It's important that you are here. And I know that it can be difficult sometimes, but it is important that you're here and that you show up because you're needed here. Paul is calling to us also not to shape and form ourselves to this world, to this age, but to be transformed, to be open to God, changing our way of thinking. Changing our thinking in ways that may seem initially counterintuitive. Boy, that's strange stuff. Turn the other cheek. Walk an extra mile after. No, that's a long way to walk. We are called to be in the world, but not of the world. We're called to be in the world, but not of the world. An important part of the world around us, but yet not a product of it. I'm going to say that again. We're called to be an important part of the world around us, but not a product of it. And yet, it is so easy to drift into conformity. And that's another reason for showing up here every week, to be reminded. Because it is here that we can talk and greet and ask, how in the world are you? How in the world? In Paul's letter to the community in Ephesus, we are called to take advantage of every opportunity that is presented to us, and there are many opportunities. We are called to use all that we are, our good sense. We all have good sense, our intelligence, and our discernment to make the most of our time. And to use all of who we are requires our attention and our participation in life. Redeeming time. That's what Paul calls it. He even uses an idiom, buying up the marketplace, as a means to encourage followers to make the absolute most of the time that we have. How much time is in your life? How much life is in your time? Life is long if you know how to use it. Do you know how to use it? Do you know how to invest it? Coming to church matters. Showing up, it is the offering of your time. And you do change this space by the very presence of your spirit within it. The presence of your smile, your kindness. Be generous to one another, both in spirit and in time. Invest in things that last. Invest your time in things that are timeless. Your pledge to be here, to give of your time, is important. It matters. Even if you think it doesn't matter to you, it does matter to others, I will promise you. You are missed when you are not here. Sometimes you get an email from me when you are not here. Showing up, it is a part of offering yourself to this community, and it is not to be devalued. It is your offering, and it is indeed about time. I think it is the Quaker in me that likes to rest in silence sometimes. Now let's take time for community sharing this morning, hearing your thoughts, what you have to say, what may have gotten stirred in your heart space this morning, even just one single word. Raise your hand, please speak up, and please be brief.
Going to Alpha Centauri, our nearest star, then you would find significant differences in the twins' age, 8 years.
You would, 8 years. Thank you, from a physicist, thank you.